Oh, man. It's so good to be here. Isn't it wonderful? Sing those songs. Get your heart just fired up, doesn't it? Just get you all fired up. Oh, my. That's preparation for worship. That's preparation for us to hear from the Word of God, right? We get our eyes and our minds set on Christ now, and now we're ready to receive the Word. Oh, it's wonderful. Okay, tonight we'll continue our study in John chapter 17. And last week, we looked at the beginning of verse 2, and we were blessed to see and hear our Lord and our Savior proclaim that He has all power over all flesh that's saved and lost. He has all power. He has all power over kings and princes and rulers of this world. He has all power over things invisible and visible, Satan and his angels and all other things. He has all power, all authority in the Greek, that word means, all authority over everything visible and invisible. And you never forget, too, He has the freedom to do whatever He wills. You know, man talks often about our own free will, but our will is bound to our nature, right? God is, I like what Donnie Bell said, the only one who has free will is, in this universe, is God. He's the only one who can do whatever He pleases. See, we lack the power to do certain things. We lack the ability to do certain things. But God doesn't lack ability and He doesn't lack power. Whatever He wills, He does. It's absolutely incredible. That's our God. That's our God, but that's our Savior. That's our Savior. And we see here again in verse 2, we're going to look at tonight, that He has the freedom to do what He will. And in verse 2 tonight, we're going to see that our great Savior has the authority to give eternal life to as many as the Father gave Him. When did He give those who He has the power and the authority to give eternal life to? When did the Son receive them? In eternity. They were given to Him in eternity by the Father. In a covenant with the Holy Spirit and in the covenant with the Father, the Son received all those who were given to Him by the Father. And He has a responsibility to care for them, to watch over them, to bring them home. Oh my. With that in mind, let's read verses 1 to 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Here He's speaking of His death. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Look at that. There's only one true God. Only one. And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Again, this prayer is split up into three sections. The first five verses here, our Lord prays for Himself. He prays to the Father. The second section is He prays for the apostles. And then the third section is He prays for all the elect of all the ages. It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, the natural man who's dead in trespasses and sins, and this is the way we're all born into the world. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. We all come into this world due to our father Adam falling in the garden. We come into this life dead in trespasses and sins, and we are unable to gain eternal life by anything we do. We are unable to obtain eternal life by anything we do. Everything that we do is tainted with sin. Everything. And this is true of those in false religions and the natural man, also in the natural man who does not care for the things of God. It doesn't matter if man's in religion or it doesn't matter if man doesn't care about the things of God. We're all born sinners. All of us. Every single one of us. And because of that, there's not one of us that can work our way to heaven. No matter what we do, no matter supposedly how good we think we are, and we're not, No matter what good work you do for somebody, is it wrong to do good things? No, not at all. It's good to do good things. Right? It's good to be moral. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But if we think that we're doing things to gain merit and favor with God, we're not. As a matter of fact, people who are in religion or natural man is heaping condemnation upon themselves by doing these things. That's all they're doing. And lest anyone thinks that we who are the born-again, blood-washed people of God are talking down about these folks, we were right there. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd still be there. It's only God. And I'm saying this to let folks know that we who are truly born again, we who are truly the blood-washed saints of God, don't look down on anyone. Because we haven't forgotten the rock that we were hewn from. We haven't forgot the pit that we were in. I was in a pit, beloved. I was in a pit when the Lord saved me, the pit of sin, and I couldn't get out of it. My, it's only God who made me the difference. It's only God who made you the difference. Only God. He's the only one who's made us different from anyone else in this world. That's how true believers feel. That's how we feel. We know. We who are the people of God, we've been rescued, beloved. We've been rescued. You know who we've been rescued from? From our sin, most importantly. From the wrath of God. From the justice of God, which we couldn't fulfill. From the law that demands law, which we couldn't fulfill. From Satan, who had us in bondage. We've been rescued, beloved. You know what the price was of our rescue? Blood of Christ. That's what purchased us from the bondage of sin. I like what Norm Wells says. We were on the slave block of sin. You ever go to a pawn shop and if you give them something and they give you money and you go back and you redeem that item? The Lord created us. Then He died for us and then He redeemed us, beloved. He bought us twice, didn't He? We're His twice. We're His by creation, and we're His by purchase, beloved. Oh, we are. It's wondrous. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we could not deliver ourselves. And that's the state of every single man and woman outside of Christ. Whether they believe it or not. They are dead in trespass and sin. They're physically alive and spiritually dead. And we were there. But you know, we've been made alive. We've been made alive, beloved. We have life. We have eternal life right now. Right now. Isn't it wonderful? My. And we don't look down at anyone. We just marvel that God saved a worm like me. A sinner like me, don't we? Do you often ask yourself, why me? All the time, right, brother? You know the answer to that? Because it pleased God. Isn't that marvelous? Oh my gosh. That's wonderful. But we do. We say, why me? I know what I am now. I didn't know what I was before, but I sure know what I am now. Oh my. But praise be to God. We who believe are saved sinners. We're saved from our sins. We're washed clean in the precious blood of Christ. My, He's delivered us from being dead in trespasses and sins. And for natural man, there's no way to change that state. We are the first to admit there's no way to change that state. We couldn't have changed our state. We were dead spiritually. Now we're alive. Who can only do that? Salvation's of the Lord. It's His work, and we rejoice, don't we? We rejoice at this marvelous work that Christ has done in us. So man in no way, in a natural state, can obtain eternal life. We can't obtain eternal life by anything we say. We can't obtain eternal life by anything we do. And we can't obtain eternal life in our natural state by anything we think. My, we are in a hopeless condition in our natural state. Helpless. And that's where Christ found us. Know who found us? We didn't find Him. We weren't looking for Him, were we? Yeah, we were lost. We were in the wilderness, the sin. And he found us. He came right to us and found us, beloved, and said, "You're mine. I purchased you with my precious blood. You're mine." Oh, he rescued us, didn't he? Oh, he brought us into a right standing before God. He did that all by his own, on his own power, by his own power. He did that. My, it's incredible. And in this wonderful verse, we see that it's Christ who has obtained eternal life for us. He obtained it. He obtained it. Look what it says here in verse 2 again. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. So he's obtained eternal life. If he is the one who's going to give it, he's obtained it. Now, he was sinless, wasn't he? He's already come from eternity into time and space. Why? That we might go and be in eternity with him. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Look at this here in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. "But Christ being come, he came to earth. Being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves." So we could not be redeemed by the blood of goats and calves. The Jews couldn't be redeemed by those. They were pictures pointing to Christ. Look at this. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Look at this. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. He has it. He obtained it. And he obtained it for who? For us. Now ponder this, and this will fill us with joy. Let it just sink deep in your soul. We cannot save ourselves, but Christ has obtained eternal life for us. Eternal redemption is eternal life. He's obtained eternal life for us. How has he done this? Well, the scripture there says, "But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He obtained eternal redemption. He obtained eternal life by the shedding of his blood, by the giving of his life. And he did that in Calvary's cross. He offered himself up for us. He alone has obtained eternal salvation. Not for himself, because he's sinless. He's the Word of God. He came down and entered into time and space to redeem us. And he's going to go back home to glory. He's the God-man. See, God cannot die, so Christ becomes a man. The Word of God becomes a man so that he could die for us in our room and place. But now he's ascended back up to heaven. We saw that, right? He's risen. And we're raised. He's raised for our justification. We're raised with him, beloved. Oh my, he's obtained eternal salvation because he's paid everything that God demanded for the eternal salvation of our souls. He paid it all. He has obtained eternal life by his perfect, complete, perfect work. The work of the God-man, the work of the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God. Christ is God. God was manifest in the flesh. "Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles." I'm preaching them tonight, aren't I? Isn't that wonderful? "Believed on in the world." You believe the gospel, you who are his people. You believe the word. Wonderful. Because of God-given faith, and then he's received up into glory. My, our God, our Father has settled as the God of peace. He has settled our eternal redemption by the death of His Son, who He sent to die in our room and place. Our eternal redemption is secure, beloved. We now have eternal life, we who are believers. We have it. Listen to this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, He settled it. God's ratified the eternal covenant of grace, the everlasting covenant, by the shedding of His Son's own blood. Christ ratified that covenant by His blood. Oh, what joy, what strength we who are the redeemed can glean from this wonderful truth that Christ has obtained eternal redemption, eternal life for us. And then He's given it to all whom the Father gave Him. Now think on this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He has obtained eternal life. He has obtained it, right? And He's obtained it for us. But there was a cost to obtain that, right? And that cost was the shedding of His precious, precious blood. He purchased eternal life with the shedding of His blood for all that the Father gave Him. Now, we don't know who that is. Therefore, we preach the gospel to everyone. God does the saving. Yeah, whosoever may, let him come. Let him come. Drink of the water of life freely. Freely. So Christ has obtained eternal redemption for His people. It's His by purchase. It's His by purchase, right? He purchased eternal life for us by the shedding of His blood. Now, when we purchase something, we can keep it, or we can give it to someone else if we choose, right? We can, can't we? We can either keep it for ourselves, or we can give it away. But Christ went to the cross, not for Himself, but for we who are the redeemed. And since He obtained eternal salvation, He could give it to whomever He pleased. Can you give something that you purchased to anyone you please? See, why do people get all bent out of shape when we say, well, God gives eternal life to as many as He please, as many as the Father give Him? Because when we buy something, we can either keep it or give it away. And no one ever says anything about that, do they? Right? And especially if you give something to somebody with nothing, you have no intentions of anything back, you don't want to do it for any intent, you just want to give it to them because you love them. Well, He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. He's obtained eternal redemption for sinners. And we need to be redeemed, don't we? We need to be redeemed. So what does Christ do? He purchases eternal life for us by the shedding of His blood. We can never obtain eternal life on our own. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, right? For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, it's a free gift. Christ obtained it so He can give it to whomever He pleases. And who is anyone to say, well, that's not fair? You know what? I don't want fair. Because fair is everyone's going to hell. You want fair? I don't want fair. That's why we praise God. That's why we're so thankful that Christ purchased eternal life for us. And again, He did it by the shedding of His precious blood. He gave His life a ransom for us. Remember, we're on the slave block of sin? He paid that which would set us free, beloved. We're shackled with the chains of sin. Shackled. Satan's got the key, didn't he? Well, you don't have it anymore. You don't have it anymore. Oh, my. Oh, we were just shackled with sin, beloved. But the chains are gone. Chains are gone. We're free. We are free. If the Son shall make you free, right? You're free indeed, aren't you? Oh, my. It's wonderful. And we say, sinner friend, flee to Christ like we who are but saved sinners did. And may God make you willing in the day of his power to flee to him. He is the only Savior of sinners, the only one. And no amount of works done by you or me can save us. Nothing. Nothing that we do can save us. But there's one who can save sinners. That's what we are. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we say flee to him. Run to him. Only Christ has the power to save. Look at this verse again in John 17, 2. Listen to this wonderful verse again. And just listen to this. As thou hast given him, that's being Christ, power, that's authority, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's purchased this eternal life, and he can give it to whomever he pleases. Who's he going to give it to? All those the Father gave him. Now, we have no idea who they are. So out goes the gospel, right? And let God do the saving. Let God do the saving. Turn to John chapter 10, just a few chapters over. Turn this to John chapter 10, and we'll read verses 27 to 30. In light of this, in light of how Christ has all power, he has all power to give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. Look at these wonderful verses here. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Look at this. My sheep hear my voice. Well, there was a time when we didn't hear the voice of the shepherd, didn't we? There was a time when we were dead in trespasses and sins. But beloved, now that we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we hear the shepherd's voice, don't we? Through the preaching of his word. Look at that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's ginoska. In the Greek, that's the intimate relationship. Like, it's like a relationship between a man and a woman. He knows us intimately. Can we count the hairs on our head? No, he knows them all, though, doesn't he? Can we count the stars in the sky? He knows them all. He's placed them all there. They're finding out how huge this galaxy is. We haven't even come close to knowing how big this area is. He knows that he named them all. He hung the stars in space. Spoke them into existence. My. I know them. I can ask them. And what do they do? What does God people do? We follow him. Because we're made willing in the day of God's power. And we willingly serve him now. Willingly. It's wonderful. We were going this way with our backs toward him, and he turned us around, didn't he? And now we just say, praise his mighty name. Look what the Lord's done. Look what he's done. All according to his power and all according to his will. Look at this. He's going to repeat a similar thing that he said in John 17, 2. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. He gives it to us. You know why? Because he obtained it. And you know why he can speak these words like they're past tense? Because he knows the end from the beginning, beloved. He knows exactly why he's going to Calvary's cross. He knows. He's the Word of God incarnate. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now let that sink deep in your soul. They shall never perish. Death won't separate us from Christ. Persecution won't separate us from Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? And look at this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So no one will pluck us out of our hand, out of God's hand, including ourselves. Including ourselves. Because we're part of that no man. Not that we'd ever want to get plucked out of God's hand, but we can't. If he's redeemed us, like I said last week, we're in his grip, beloved. The grip of God. And look at this. Not only in his hand, but look at this in verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in the Son's grip, and we're in the Father's grip. Look at that. Then look what it says. I and my Father are one. We are one. Isn't that amazing? My. Now let's go back to verse 2. And we'll note here, the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation spoken of here. The old timers used to call it the plan of salvation. You don't hear about that very much anymore. You're going to start hearing that from me more. Because God is the one. The plan of salvation was thought of by God, purposed by God, planned by God, and executed by God. All by Him. And here we're going to find out, in this verse here, where the origins of the plan of salvation came from. It didn't come from us. No, it couldn't have. Man would never think of a salvation where the King of Glory gives His life for us. Man could never devise anything like that. No king would say, I'm going to die for my servants. No, they're sending the servants to die, right? To keep himself alive. Isn't that interesting? Leaders still do it today. They send young men into battle. Don't send themselves into battle. Most of the time, don't even send their own kids into battle. But they're sending other people's kids into battle. My, oh my. Now we're going to see here. The plan of salvation finds its origin in God in eternity. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Okay. Note again that salvation begins with God. How do we know that? Well, it says, to as many as thou hast given him. So this means the Father gave a people to the Son. A people. This also means that the Father sent the Word of God to obtain salvation for those people. And remember what drove God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to do this. It was their eternal love. Their love never changes for us. Now, we're like this, aren't we? We can be on a spiritual high and then just be low the next day, can't we? We're all there, beloved. Just be just on the top of the mountain and then boom, right down the valley, right? We can be. We'll see something and get all upset and all worked up about something going on. We do. It's the flesh, beloved. Oh, my. But God's love for us never changes. And we see here the origin of salvation through Christ alone finds its origin in eternity with God. The Father sent the Word of God to die in our room and place on Calvary's cross. And think of this. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Son obtained eternal life for us, right? God the Holy Spirit applies it. You must be born again. Therefore, what can we conclude? Salvation's of the Lord. Because we can't obtain eternal salvation, can we? By anything we do, we can't save ourselves, we can't save anyone else. Praise be to God. Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh my. My, it's wonderful, beloved. And note also that God the Father has given Jesus Christ all power to give eternal life to as many as he gave Christ. What a wonderful truth. May we never forget this. May we never graduate from this truth. This is wonderful. Marvel at this. God the Father sent his Son, if you're a believer, to redeem you, to redeem me too, at Calvary's cross. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. To die. To obtain eternal redemption. How did he do it? By his death on Calvary's cross. A perfect sin-atoning work. Not for himself, he's sinless, but for us sinners. My, what love. What love God has for me, because all I did was shake my fist at him. And I know how fickle I can be even today. Is it so for you? We can be fickle, can't we? But praise God for His faithfulness. He keeps us, beloved. See, without Him, we can do nothing, can we? Nothing. Huh? And we are the people of God. We rejoice over that. We're like, yes, Lord, that's true. That sure is true, Lord. So may we never graduate from the fact that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, all due and according to the plan and purpose of salvation, which God planned. The plan of salvation, which was planned in eternity. And marvel at this. If you're a believer, we were included in that number. When Christ speaking to those who were given to Him, I just marveled that I was in that number. It surely ain't anything I did. No, there'd be more cause in me than Him to reject me. If anything, cast me away. But oh, the eternal love of God. Just think of that this week. Marvel at that. The eternal love of God. Now, the truth that our wonderful text here proclaims is found all through the scripture. I'm going to go through some scriptures if you want to write them down. They tie in with this fact. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Salvation is by grace alone, right? It's not by anything we do. It has to be all by what Christ has done. And again, it ties into that gift, right? For by grace are we saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift of God, right? He gives it to us. Right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And because of the fall of Adam, we fell in Him. And then now we're born in this hopeless, helpless condition, beloved. But being dead in trespasses and sins. And we cannot change that situation. You know, men try to reform themselves all the time. We can't reform ourselves to be in the presence of God. We can't. Now, is it good to change habits and to stop certain things? Absolutely. Sometimes it's good for our health. Sometimes it's just good for our mental state too, isn't it? It is. But the gospel's not a proposal or a scheme to enable men to save themselves. You know, you hear some preachers and say, God's done everything He can, now the rest is up to you. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. If God's done all He can do, and I'm not saved, well, and some man's telling me that, he's not talking about the true God of the Bible. Because we saw there in our verse tonight, right? Christ gives eternal life to as many as the Father's given Him. And He never failed, did He? He said, it's finished. It's done. The work's finished. So it's not a proposal or a scheme to enable man to save ourselves. No, the Scriptures declare there's none righteous. No, not one. Scriptures declare there's none that seeketh after God. That's what the Scriptures declare. That's our state, naturally. My, there's none that understand God. I tell you, I did not understand anything about God, and I'm still just scratching the surface right now. But I didn't understand anything in the Bible before the Lord saved me. Because it was all what I thought. Not what God thought. And not what God wrote in His Word. See, He says, your thoughts, not my thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. He's so far above us, beloved. Oh, He's so far above us. Oh, my. Oh, my. So we are in a state of bondage to sin and to Satan. And what does this tell us? What does this tell us, the fact that salvation is a gift of God? It tells us that salvation is of the Lord. It's His doing. We're hopeless. We're helpless. You know, my prayer is my children would be saved. If, you know, I don't think there's one of us in here that if we had to give our life for our kids, we'd do it for them to be saved. But we can't, can we? We can't. We can't save them. We can't save ourselves. But we can pray for them, can't we? We can lift them up to the throne of grace and never give up hope until they breathe their last breath. Never give up hope. Just keep lifting them up to the King and ask Him. Beg Him. I beg the Lord now for my kids. Please, Lord, save them if it's Your will. Oh, please, Lord. My salvation's a gift from God. And salvation's been given to us the only way that we can obtain it. And that's by Christ obtaining it for us. and it being a gift given to us. Right? Because there ain't no way we can get it. No way on our own. No way at all. Man. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is simply stating what we see here in our text, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. It's simply stating that. That He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Look at that. It says here, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So who does Christ give the gift of eternal life to? Those the Father gave Him. See, it all ties in. It all ties in. Salvation's a gift of God. And as we grasp this wonderful truth, then we start to see the greatness of the plan of salvation. We start to see it come forth before us, the greatness of this plan. And it comes from the great God, the one true living God, who is great and greatly to be praised, isn't He? But think of that, this great plan of salvation. We start to see it as we grasp this truth in John 17, 2. We start to see it through scriptures unfolding the wondrous plan of salvation that God has purposed from eternity. And again, He's executed it by Christ dying in our room and place. So He planned, He purposed it, and it's been executed. And as I said, now it's applied. You must be born again. What happens when you're born again? You're given new life, aren't you? Right? You're given new life. Oh, you're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And notice in this wonderful verse that Christ proclaims that He gives eternal life. Now, when people hear us talk about eternal life, they think we're talking about heaven. And we are partially, but not wholly. Not holy. You know, eternal life means much more than heaven. Heaven's just the destination, right? Heaven will be our abode for eternity. But eternal life, we as believers have right now. If you're a believer, you have eternal life right now. I have eternal life right now. Right now. And you know, same eternal life we have right now, we'll have for eternity. Now, wait for me with this. Eternal life begins right here on this earth. You have it right now. It begins before we die. And consider this. If you don't have eternal life before you die, you won't have it after you die. Right? If you're not saved before you die, you will not have eternal life. You see? Eternal life. Brother Henry says eternal life begins right here in the believer. Just as soon as we are born again, just as soon as the believers regenerate, just as soon as they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how we know that? Because Christ said this. These are the words of the Master. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Yeah. Do you have the Son? Well, praise God, I have the Son. And we have eternal life, beloved. That's words from our Master. That's not Wayne's thinking. That's not Henry's thinking. That's the Master Himself saying that. He that hath the Son life, hath life. And then listen to what He continues to say. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Then rejoice if you do, because you have eternal life. It's all in Christ. It's all in Him. So the moment a newborn believer believes, they have eternal life. Because, see, you must be born again, right? What happens when we're born again? We're quickened, aren't we? We're made alive, beloved. Spiritually alive. There's new life in us now. Now we're new creatures in Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. That was our state. You know what also? The same life which you have, the same eternal life which you have, now you're having glory. You're having glory. If you're one with Christ, you're in union with Christ. He's the head and we're the body. He's the vine and we're the branches right now. And in Him we have eternal life. Death doesn't transport the believer into a new life. You know what it does? See, a lot of people think that when a believer dies, he's transported into a new life. Not so. Not so. He's transported to a new place. What did God say to? What did Christ say as He was dying to the dying thief who believes? Today you shall be with me in paradise. He'll be transported to a new place. But that thief was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And how do we know that? Because he said to the other thief, "This man's done nothing to miss, but we're here justly." See, that's the Holy Spirit that taught him that. He's born again, beloved. And we know that because the Lord said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Oh my, it's wonderful. So, what happens when we die? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? So we're transported from earth to heaven. But death does not transport me into a new life. You know what it does? You're going to rejoice over this. It rids the believer of the old nature. It rids the believer of this body of death. The old man. It rids us of that, beloved. It rids us of sin, which hampers us, doesn't it? It hampers us. It's like a dog constantly nipping at us. Little dog constantly nipping at us. The new life in Christ is the new birth. Is the new birth. That's the reason Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" Remember Paul said that? That's the spirit in him. That's Paul crying out as the new man, saying, "Oh, this body of death that I have, I'm carrying it around. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Do you know the victory is already ours through Christ? Christ conquered our last enemy when He rose from the grave, beloved, and that's death. The sting of death is gone. Listen to this. "That which is corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this which is mortal shall put on immortality. And this which is sown in shame shall be raised in glory." We'll be rid of this old nature, beloved. We'll be rid of this old nature. We'll be rid of this body of sin. We'll be rid of sin. We'll never sin again. Oh, it's glorious. Here are a few things about eternal life for us to consider. Just three quick things here. Number one, it's a gift of God. We saw that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Secondly, it's the purchase of the Son. We see that in Ephesians verse 2. He can give eternal life to as many as the Father gave Him because He purchased it. He purchased it by the shedding of His blood. And He can give that as a gift to whomever He pleases. And the Scripture tells us here, He's going to give it to all that the Father gave Him. Again, we don't know who they are, so we gospel preachers get up, we preach to everybody. And let God, I love what Henry said. Let God do the saving. Somebody's looking like they're coming to Christ, leave them alone. Don't give him up. Leave him alone. God will deal with them. Oh, my. My. You know, Christ said, I come that they might have life, speaking of us. And when Christ came to this earth, we already had physical life. People already had physical life. And they already had mortal life. They already had fleshy life. But he's speaking of eternal life there. He gives us eternal life. Remember, he that believeth on the Son, what? Hath eternal life? My. We already have a carnal life. He didn't bring fleshy carnal life. He bought spiritual life. Listen to this. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And in this, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, and he that believeth not the Son shall never see eternal life. My. Christ suffered the just one for the unjust, that we might live. That we might live, we sinners. Thirdly, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn with your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 11 to 13. You know, Christ came unto his own. He came unto the Jews. He came unto Israel. Look what it says in John 1, 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. They rejected him. Look at this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now someone might get on that and say, look at that, look at that, look at that. As many as received him. See, man's got to make a decision. People get a hold of verses like that and they say, now, we would be the first to admit that when we're being drawn to Christ, we run to him, don't we? But see, people take that verse and they flip it around and they say, well, see, that means you've got to make a decision for Christ. But they forget to read the next verse. And the verse after that. But as many as he received him, to them gave he become... But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the what? Flesh. Not by our wills. Nor the will of man, not by free will, but of God. God the Holy Spirit. Christ said, you must be born again. You never believe unless you're born again. But when you're born again, you believe. Because you're given that gift. You're given the gift of faith. Oh, and then the scripture says, but as many as received him as Lord Redeemer, as Christ, as many as received him in their hearts, of a truth, to them gave he the privilege, this is another version, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's in the Greek literal. The privilege. It comes from God. It comes from God and God alone. But again, that's not the end of the sentence. It's, which were born not of blood. So we didn't inherit salvation from our parents. You know what we inherited from our parents? Sin and death. That's what we inherited from our parents. Sin and death. Oh my. I didn't inherit spiritual life from my dad. No, not at all. Just his sin. Sin and death. And it says, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. My. You must be born again. And being born again is not something we do. We're not born again because we have faith in God. People say, you got to have faith and then you're born again. They got the cart before the horse, beloved. You will not believe unless you're born again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And tonight in our verse, we see Christ say that he has eternal life and he gives it to as many as the Father has given him. See how clear it is when we measure Scripture with Scripture. But again, you know, we still, I wear these glasses, but you know, we still see through the glass darkly. Even with what the Lord's given us and what we know, we still see darkly, but then face to face. Oh, that'll be incredible, won't it? Oh, what a day that'll be. Oh, my. Oh, my. Let's read verse 2 again. And we're going to look at these words, to as many as thou hast given him. Again, this brings forth the origin of the plan of salvation. This is what brings that forth right now, right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Look at this. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So we see here that the plan of salvation originated with God. It originated with God. We know that it originated with God in eternity, because in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." His will. My. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit covenant to save a people in eternity. And they're spoken of right here in this verse when it says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look, listen to this. Actually, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's turn there. We're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is just marvelous. This is just marvelous. It fits right in with what we're studying tonight. I'll repeat the verse that we're studying. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now look at this. Tie this in now with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Look at this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. So Paul's in prison. He's writing this epistle to Timothy. And he says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Dumas of God, the dynamite of God. Look at this in verse 9, though. This is magnificent. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Right? Look at this. But according to whose purpose? His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when we believed. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Before the world began. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, penned in there by God, as some people say, with indelible ink. The name was penned in there. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my. Oh, my. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest to us. This great plan of salvation is now made manifest to us. Do you see? We didn't even see it before, did we? When we were in religion, we didn't see it. When we were just dead in sin, we didn't see it. But now, even though we see through a glass darkly, we're going, oh my goodness. Wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. Oh, it's wonderful, beloved. But is now made manifest, how? By the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought what? Life and immortality through light, through the gospel. We have eternal life right now, beloved. You have the Son? You have the Son, you have eternal life. Remember, that's what our Master said. That's not my words. That's the words of the Master. All that Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, but you don't know how dark my sin is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I'll in no wise cast them out. Oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't know. I know you're self-righteous like me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me shall in no wise cast out. He won't cast no wise. All who come to him, He had never cast him away. Father, I will also. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. Glory be to God, beloved. Glory be to God. He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. And beloved, rejoice, is this eternal life given to us as a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's applied by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we can conclude, we can say, praise ye the Lord, salvations of